I think you've already referred to technology, but how has technology changed your profession to this day?
A lot in the big medical centers, not as much in my setting. We have better light. We have better retractors to hold tissue back. We have, for cranial things, for brain things, it's changed a lot, but because I haven't done that for 21 years, it just hasn't affected me as much. The incisions have gotten smaller. I mean, I can do a lumbar rupture disc easily through a less than 1-inch incision. I joke, patients can't tell the difference between a 1-inch or a 2-inch incision on the back, pain-wise, afterwards, they can't tell. But we just are more meticulous. Our cauteries, our instruments that burn small vessels are better. I've talked about speed. I really never thought I went too fast or left things behind because I was going too fast or had complications because I was going too fast. But I just don't fiddle. I don't fiddle around much. I just keep on going.
Yeah.
Because I've done it so many times.
It may have been 10, 15 years ago, I had surgery at the base of my neck. Dr. John Coates, who you knew very well.
Yes.
Wonderful reputation. He knew I needed it, and on New Year's Eve, he says, I'm going to get everybody together, and we're going to do this right now. And I woke up on New Year's Day. He got the staff together, and then they took a bone from my hip, placed it in my neck. I think Dr. Fields, Eugene Fields, would have done that. And so I only bring that up because that's probably something they don't do anymore.
Well, I've gone away from taking bone from the hip because too many people complain that was the worst pain. Mm-hmm. So now we have some plastic box-like spacers that we fill full of bone chips or fill full of a material that makes bones fuse together. And it works great. It works great. So you've got 100 different sizes to choose from. So at the end of taking out the disc and the ruptured part or the spur, you've got all these different boxes to choose from that fit in there nicely with some bone-making material and then usually use a small metal plate on. He may have used a plate then or may not have used a plate in your neck, but the plate ensures that what you put in there doesn't move and increases the chance of healing. So that's my favorite surgery. I could do that all day and all night. People do great. You don't even cut a muscle to go through the front of the neck. You just move the muscles aside. It's slick. And when everybody talks about neck surgery, they always think from behind. But the anterior discectomy that was developed in the 50s, it's been bread and butter surgery for neurosurgeons forever.
Never forget the night before. He said he was coming in through the front, and he said, I don't want to alarm you, but you have a vocal cord in there, and I know you make your profession of that, and chances are great we're not going to harm you, but there is that possibility, and it didn't, and then the whole surgery was fine. I never had any complications at all, so it was very smooth.
One thing that I have determined over time that has made my practice as strong as it's been is the way I handle patients. When I went to Muskogee in 81 by myself, of course the Hippocratic Oath is to do no harm, but I promised that I wouldn't do a surgery on anybody that I wouldn't do on myself or have myself have done. So that made me very conservative. Also, when I went there, I had plenty of work in Muskogee, so I didn't want to operate on everybody, so I would choose to do injections or traction or physical therapy or bracing, things to give people a chance to get well. And I see somebody at least once every 3 or 4 months that comes up and says, do you remember me? I go, no, I don't remember you. And he goes, yeah, I came to you and two other surgeons have said, I needed surgery and you said no, and look, I'm great. So that's one thing I always did. Second thing is now medicine has changed so much because most of the time when you go see your internist or your GP, he is locked into a computer. He's putting in data as you're talking to him, and that lessens eye contact. And the physical examination is now so abbreviated that there's not a lot of hand contact. So one thing I always do to patients, and it wasn't premeditated, it just worked out this way, is I always talk to patients about something else, how their work is going, or, you know, those are a new pair of shoes, those are really nice, I like those, or this your hair is different this time. Just do something that kind of, maybe it disarms them, but it makes them think that I'm not just about throughput, get them in and out of there. I also touch patients, because I always do reflex examination, muscle strength testing, straight leg raising, I touch them. And there's other doctors, I'll get a 10-page report from another doctor and ask the patient, did he even touch you? No, he never touched me. So those are, I'm bragging, but I'm saying that, you know, medicine is shifting to a, you know, later on we're going to put our finger in a machine and it's going to diagnose everything. I understand that. But there's still the art of medicine, and there's the empathy and the compassion and the friend. I'm your friend. I'm not your enemy. And I'm one, you know, this is what I would do, and this is what I do for my wife. There's just unique things that if I had another job right now teaching medical students, I could probably do a good job of teaching them things that they don't ever get taught.
But aren't there some doctors who don't want to get close to the patient? And for some reason, that gives them some confidence that they, I don't know, is that true?
Well,
certainly not like you have just described. You want them to know you're human and I've touched you. And do you see them the day before or the morning before you go into surgery? And some doctors don't want to even see them that day.
Yeah. So it's just the way everybody's personality is different.
Yeah.
Again, that pride of going, making a post-op round, seeing them in the room after surgery, and my leg pain's gone, doctor, I feel so great. I mean, that's that little jolt of a stimulant in your system. And then seeing them before, to tell them, to promise what I can and can't do, and I'll do a good job, and I think you'll do perfect. And
yeah.